Dylan Mint is 16, and he wants to impress Michelle Malloy. Now, he's funny, bright, and loves wordplay, but while trying to ask her to a Halloween disco dance, Dylan breaks out with a profanity so coarse it might shock a Royal Marine. It's Mr. Dog bursting through, a howling dog that overtakes Dylan Mint whenever he gets stressed. Dylan Mint has Tourette syndrome. He's a smooth talker in his own Cockney, Joycean hip-hop style, and he's about to confront the challenge of his life. When Mr. Dog Bites is a new novel for young adults, and there's a special edition for older adults, too, both by Brian Conahan, a former school teacher in Ireland. Brian Conahan joins us from the studios of RTE in Dublin. Thanks so much for being with us.
It's my pleasure, Scott.
Contrary to what a lot of us think, Tourette's just doesn't make someone swear a lot, does it?
It doesn't, actually. I think between 10 and 15% of Tourette's sufferers have what we call coprolalia, which is the uncontrollable desire or urge to swear and use profanity. And that's what the main character in my book, Dylan Mint, has.
Hmm. What are some of the other things, though, that go into this package of Tourette's?
Well, I mean, it's a broad spectrum, but some of the more common things would be severe motor tics, hitting, slapping, punching, throat clearing, grunting, blinking, tapping your legs, banging your feet against the ground. There's a lot of physicalness about it.
Mm. And may I ask how much of you is in Dylan Mint?
Well, I think a lot of writers are told right what we know, and I'm no different. So I was diagnosed with mild Tourette's a few years ago, and my level of Tourette's is more physical than vocal. I don't suffer the coprolalia. I'm not in that 10 to 15% scale. I'm in the opposite end of the spectrum. And I would tick and I would grunt and I would clear my throat. I would slap, hit myself, things like that. But just at times of great stress, similar to Dylan. So I came to that book with a little bit of knowledge about Tourette syndrome and the stresses and frustrations that you have when you live with Tourette syndrome.
Mm. Help us appreciate that. What does Dylan have to do just to get through a day?
I think take himself out of stressful situations, and concentration, relaxation. But as a teenager, you know that it's fraught with anxiety, with hormones, with stress, with constant mini battles that you face throughout the day. Just your average, typical high school kid, I suppose, that he has to endure that teenage life coupled with trying to suppress all this other stuff that's going on in his life, namely the Tourette syndrome.
I've read that you weren't diagnosed until you were 37.
Yeah.
Do you wish you'd been diagnosed earlier, or did it spare you from growing up with a label?
It spared me from growing up with a label. And I don't wish I was diagnosed early, because if I had, I would have probably defined myself by it, and others would have defined me by it, and I don't, to this day, I don't define myself by it. So I'm glad that I was diagnosed later in life. And at the time, you know, during my preteen years and my teen years, I didn't really know much about it. I didn't know what the term was, and I certainly didn't know the characteristics of it.
I gather you concealed it from your wife.
I concealed it from everybody. You know, when I was diagnosed, I told my wife. But before that, when I was going through the processes of being diagnosed, which was a year and a half, I concealed it from my wife. But that was probably just until it was clarified. I mean, Tourette's is a pretty embarrassing syndrome to have at times. And I became pretty good at concealing it and concealing the tics, looking for little triggers where I knew that I would start ticking, or I would start hitting myself, or blinking, or jerking my head. I knew those signs, so I could take myself away from certain situations. I knew how to do that.
Yeah. Is there sometimes a Mr. Dog in you?
Absolutely. But, I mean, again, it's about knowing the triggers and known how to suppress it. You know, I mean, I was a school teacher for many years, so
yeah.
People would say that I would be an awful fidget. I would be moving constantly, continuously. And again, that was me suppressing it physically.
I have to ask you about the profanity in the book.
Sure.
Now, I'll stipulate it's obviously necessary to tell Dylan Mint's story to use this profanity.
Yeah.
But I wonder if it was necessary to make this a novel for young adults.
It was a decision that wasn't taken lightly on my part. And there's one thing I dislike is gratuitous swearing in books. But I was writing from the perspective of teenagers. I was writing about the town I grew up in. I was writing about a specific environment. And I know that environment and I know that town and I know those teenagers very, very well. And having spent a large part of my working life working with and around teenagers, I think in my reality, it would have been misrepresenting them if I didn't put a truthfulness in their voice.
You know, I'm struck by how much is piled on Dylan's thin shoulders and how good-hearted he is. What puts that in Dylan Mint?
He's got a very good mother. He's got very good friends, close friends. He feels secure within his friendships and he feels secure to a certain degree within his family unit. And also Dylan's an inquiring, interested young lad. I think compassion is a big thing for Dylan. He sees the wrongs in society. He can't, perhaps at times, understand it fully, and he can't vocalise that, but he understands certainly the ills of society, and that builds his compassion.
Brian Conahan, his new book, When Mr. Dog Bites, will be on shelves here in the United States next week. Mr. Conahan, good to talk to you.
Scott, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.